Hello again, everybody, and welcome to Around Town. I'm your host, Ron Giordano. You're listening to 101.5 FM, your Huntley Community Radio Station. And our guest today is Rob Tattleman, the Sheriff of McHenry County. We want to welcome Rob back to our show to bring us up to date on what's going on in McHenry County. Rob, welcome to Around Town.
Thanks, Ron. I appreciate it.
So, upcoming parade season. What's going on there, Rob?
Yeah, so last weekend we were just at the Milk Days Parade. It was a great parade.
That's the one in Harvard, correct?
Correct. Yep, exactly. We pulled out the old 1995 Chevy Caprice.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, she's a beaut. But it was a good parade. We had a couple of our sheriff's office volunteers out there walking the parade. Just nice to be able to, you know, see a bunch of happy faces and waving hands and all that good stuff. With the summer months, we have more parades coming up. Crystal Lake Parade will be coming up. I know there's parades, you know, later in the season than Johnsburg and McHenry and Marengo as well.
So how do you handle those parades? You've got the sheriff there, but then you have local authorities too, correct?
Correct, yeah. Usually the parades are in a town, so it's the local jurisdiction that leads it and we'll work with them, not just being in the parade, but we'll have our gang task force unit out that'll be walking to make sure that safety of the citizens is upheld and other details that come up. We work with, obviously safety is number one priority, especially sure. last year with Highland Park. That's on a lot of people's minds of all the planning that goes into it and behind the scenes so that we work really hard with our local agencies to make sure.
So when you do crowd control like that, are they in uniform or do you have some plainclothes people as well?
All of the above.
All of the above, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah, you have to be so careful now. At Highland Park, it's a good, you know, reference because what happened there, you want to be very careful.
Yep, and, you know, I think we learned a lot. But, I mean, at the end of the day, it's unfortunate to say, but, you know, there's bad people out there that want to do bad things. I don't think if we can never prevent everything. But I'll tell you, we work with our local jurisdictions really, really hard in making sure that the people that are coming to these events are able to do so safely.
Rob, how is the screening going? That gentleman in Highland Park, that incident, on the Internet, he had a lot of things he said, things he was doing, and nobody picked up on it. So are there things you can do before the parade? Do you do searches or things like that?
Yeah, as far as that goes, I think that's the benefit of having uniformed officers out and about in the public. You know, the number one deterrence is knowing that there's law enforcement there and present. So our officers and officers, you know, throughout the communities are trained in, you know, making sure that, you know, they're doing the best they possibly can. Are there instances where someone can sneak through the cracks? Obviously, we saw that happen last year. But I think, you know, with the recent, there was a recent bill passed with drone usage for large events. I think that there'll be some help with that and, pre-surveillance to get the lay of the land and also kind of one of those, tools that we can utilize to make sure that there's safety, during the before, during, and after.
I'm sure there's tools out there too. Out there also that you'd like to use, but we don't want to give too much away because we don't want the bad individuals.
Don't give away the trade secrets, right?
Right. We don't want to do that. We want to keep it quiet. What else is the department doing for the summer months here and preparing for all this hot weather and, you know, people out celebrating and driving and drinking and everything else that goes on in the holidays?
Yeah, for sure. So the Marine unit started Memorial Day weekend. So you'll see our Marine unit patrols the Fox River. So they'll be out and about. We work with our local municipalities and the state police, as well as the Illinois Department of Transportation on suppression details. So whether it be seatbelt details, electronic device details, or DUI details. With the summer months, we see a lot more traffic, a lot more people coming in and, you know, out and about. So we do, we do a lot of safety suppression details. We make sure that, you know, people are
sure
operating their vehicles safely. But on top of that, we have directed patrols, and our traffic unit does a lot of studies of finding where there's a more propensity for accidents to happen or speeding to happen. We target those areas as well.
On your Marine unit, is that two shifts, one shift, or how does that work, Rob?
So, yeah, we try to have boats on the water, as early as 6 a.m. and, as late as, 8 or 9 p.m. And obviously, as it gets darker, the patrolling gets a little more difficult, and manpower is always an issue with that. That is a part-time position. Marine deputies are usually law enforcement officers that either had worked or are still working in other jurisdictions, and come over and moonlight with us and get on the get on the river. They obviously, having the boat knowledge and ability to operate is helpful too, and all those guys go through training and all that. So that's really it's great service. I think there's some PR that goes along with that we're out and about, just like I talked about with parades. Being present, is a good deterrent for people that operate their boats in a reckless manner. It tends to quell those issues. But there are people that may make bad decisions on the river as well. So they're out there to make sure that those people are, handled appropriately.
Well, I'm sure that on the boat, you're looking for people the same as cars that are drinking and driving.
Yeah, operating recklessly, drinking and driving, making sure that, they all have safety vests. We see boats with a lot of kids on it. We want to make sure that they're operating in a safe manner, and it gives us a little opportunity to get a little face-to-face with the younger population as well, and, really have a positive interaction. At the end of the day, our mission is to make sure that, people are able to enjoy the river. It's beautiful to come out and enjoy it. We see people come from out of state, all over the place from the state and, participate on that. So our main mission is make sure that people are able to enjoy that, and part of that is making sure they're doing it safely.
Yeah, I think that's one of the biggest things, that the life jackets, where a lot of people just take things for granted.
Sure.
And that's when you get in trouble.
100%, all the time.
Right. The folks that are out boating, I'm sure there's wake areas and things like that have to abide by. If someone's violating the laws, is that a ticket that's issued by the...
Yep.
The sheriff?
Yep. The Marine unit will issue citations, whether it be a local ordinance or an Illinois Vehicle Code ordinance.
And what do those generally run? What kind of costs is there to the violations?
That's a good question. I think they're much akin to what traffic citations would be, especially, the ones that we're really looking for are the DUIs, the people that are operating recklessly. So it'd be more, much akin to a DUI. On the road, there's a lot that's involved. So those are costly tickets. I mean, maybe not ticket itself, but you're talking about court costs and an attorney and all that. That's really where it usually affects individuals' pocketbook.
Well, in that case, do you actually tow the boat in? Because if someone has a DUI, you don't continue driving.
Correct.
So how do you handle that?
Yeah, so we'll ask for one of the local marinas to either remove the boat for us. Sometimes, depending on where it stopped, we can tie it up to a dock and just have it removed at a later date. Sometimes there's someone that, believe it or not, who is not intoxicated that, isn't operating the boat, but may be able to operate the boat after that too. So we try to, exhaust all options, so we can get that boat out of there safely.
And you've got programs here for the National Night Out. You want to tell us about that, Rob?
Yeah, National Night Out is an event that many local sheriffs and state law enforcement agencies participate in. It's really an open house for the public to come out and see and meet its law enforcement officers. Great event. The National Night Out this year is August 3rd, but because of the county fair and how heavily we're involved with the county fair, we actually push it out to August 8th. And we partnered up with the McHenry County Conservation and McHenry Police Department and have it in McHenry. And our we just have, bring a bunch of our toys out. So we'll have, I call them toys, I probably shouldn't call them toys. our SWAT vehicles and the things that, aren't normally utilized on day-to-day basis. Some of our transport vehicles and buses for our corrections division, the motorcycles go out. We'll have a demo with our dogs. So we really try to showcase a lot of the specialty units and let, usually the kids like coming on, taking pictures, hopping on the vehicles and really getting it's almost like a touch a truck event where they can get, hands-on experience with, with the things that we deal with on a daily basis.
Rob, how many motorcycles and dogs does the department have?
Sure. So bikes, I think we have 3 motorcycles, usually one at a time that are out and about on the road. Canines, we are at 3 right now. We will be adding a 4th dog here in the fall.
Wow.
Yeah.
Holy mackerel. And then, of course, they get attached to the handler.
Yep. Oh, yeah, for sure. So when, we're just talking about this process. When there's a testing process that goes along to, find who would be the canine handler for the office. So there's an interview process. We look at what experience they have with the agency, and a lot of other factors go into the selection of a canine handler. And once that handler has been selected, then they meet with the trainer and they try to identify a dog personality-wise that meshes well with the handler. And then through a lot of training, and I mean a lot of training, because those dogs, they're perishable skills. So as long as they're not, if they're not using them, they lose them. They are best friends with their handler. We saw a couple weeks ago what happened with the canine down in Kane County.
Right.
And, just seeing that funeral process, they are treated just like another officer. And it's when they're lost in the line of duty, it's as sad as when you lose, a police officer. And the support from your community is awesome, but they are treated just like one of our own.
And I believe the handlers eventually wind up keeping those dogs, too.
Yes, yeah. For us, when the dog is no longer able to perform its duties as an officer, they are sold to the handler for a dollar so that they can stay with the family, just because they're like best friends, so it's hard to break them up.
Rob, what's the retraining for the dogs? Because there's so many drugs that are changing out there and things that are changing on an ongoing basis.
Sure.
How often does a dog go back for retraining or indoctrination into a new drug?
So like I had mentioned before, that dogs are always training, so they're always working on scents and recognitions. Once a year, they have to be certified through the state, where they have to they use almost like PVC pipes, and they have to be able to correctly identify which pipe is holding the illicit substance. That, like I said, training it's a lot. And the certification is usually where we're able to verify that the dog is, utilizing his or her skills as needed for the state standards. The big question now, as we move more and more towards, the legalization of cannabis and the normalization of cannabis and the way the state is leaning for, really not paying attention to it, for lack of better terms, that's when what we call imprinting the dog. So that's when the dog gets to know the scents. We are seeing some agencies that are no longer imprinting the dogs in the scent of cannabis.
We're going to pause for one moment here to remind everybody you're listening to 101.5 FM, your Huntley Community Radio Station. We are talking to Rob Tattleman, the sheriff of McHenry County. Rob, with the dogs, are they primarily German Shepherds?
We use Shepherds, yes, sir. But there's a wide array. We had a bloodhound that was a good search and rescue dog. We've seen labs utilized for non-aggressive dogs that can almost be dual utilization, where they can be comfort dogs, but they also can be scent for drugs or tracking dogs.
How about your border collies? They seem to be very intelligent dogs.
Yeah, we don't have any over here, and I really, I like them. They're nice dogs, but I couldn't speak anything. We don't have them at our agency.
So coming up next is the county fair, and what are your challenges there, Rob?
So it's a big week-long process that we are heavily involved with. The fairgrounds, they utilize our services for the security of the fair, and that runs, I think, August 1st through the 6th this year. And then they obviously have concerts that we run security for, and then work with Woodstock and getting the vehicles in and out, because that's a tough entrance. I mean, it's a one in, one out. So we try to work with Woodstock Police Department and making sure that people can come in and out safely. But that's just the security aspect of it. We also have a booth there where it's manned with our correction officers, our patrol officers, our special service deputies, and our volunteers are out there helping out. And then we also bring our police explorers out to get them experience on traffic control. We fingerprint young kids to get ID cards and all that. It's a real positive experience. And, the fair does a good job of what they do out there. And they've been good partners with us for many years now. And we like to be part of that, but it's a big operation that takes a lot of manpower, a lot of hours of preparation that, we work hard on.
Well, this year especially is going to be a big year because it's their 75th anniversary.
Yep.
So there's going to be a lot going on. I understand with the bands, from what I've heard, that there'll be several bands. So there'll be a band, there'll be an intermission, then another band, the intermission.
Yep.
So there's going to be a lot going on every day, especially this year.
Yeah, for sure. I think they got away from the big headliner band. We're trying to showcase a lot of more local bands with a little bit more variety to appease to a larger group of people.
Events like this, without flying them, would you bring the drone out so kids can see a drone, see what it looks like?
Yeah, so it depends on, you know, where, what space we're allocated. Usually for this event specific, it's not really geared towards much akin to the National Night Out. That would be an event where we could bring the drone out and show how we utilize a drone. The fair, it, just because of space and what we would use it for, we probably wouldn't use it more for like a show and tell, for lack of better terms. But, you know, the National Night Out, you would see more of the drone.
Well, the way kids are so attuned to computers now, I'm sure the drone will be a big drawing card, because they're going to want to see a drone. It's, it flies, it moves around. It's got to be a lot of attention drawn from the kids. That's going to help the police department.
100%, yeah. Everyone likes to see new technology and, you know, other things that we utilize that, you know, kind of are really geared towards the younger generation where it can kind of spark some interest.
How are things going with that regional training center at Cary?
So we were just there earlier this week. The drywall is up, and things are moving good. We are still on target for an open update end of September, early October. We already have some training scheduled in that facility for mid-October, so we're excited about that. The county board is, I'm trying to remember where in the process it is. They're working on a contract with a couple other local jurisdictions and creating a board for the training center so that, you know, we can work together on utilization of not just, you know, having officers go in and train, but the officers that are going to be trainers too, and working on a curriculum that'll be not only meet the standards that the state has put forward for the officers, but, you know, exceed it as well.
So how will that work by department? For, you've got so many departments in McHenry County. How does that work, Rob?
So right now we have had, including the Sheriff's Office, five agencies that have formed the board that really have, you know, taken the brunt of the work and trying to, you know, figure out what it means to bring other agencies on and share costs, share resources, and really lay down the foundation for what this facility wants to be. You know, I think the vision is for officers to be able to come in and out during their shift all days of the, you know, week, all times of the day, and really just be able to train officers while they're working, as opposed to having them come in on their off days or not normal shifts, and, you know, really try to look at officer wellness as a whole, because I think we talked about this in the last show, you know, when an officer works midnights but they have to train during the day, it just messes their schedule up and messes their life up, and it really takes a toll on the officers. So we're trying to figure that out, and that's part of what this board is doing, figuring out how we can coordinate all that, because it's a big undertaking. And we're obviously excited about it because we're doing it, but we understand that there's a lot of stuff that's involved with it.
But that'll be for just the departments in McHenry County, correct?
So right now the goal is to get all, I mean, it would be great if we can get every agency in McHenry County to be part of it and to utilize it. But, you know, the trainings that we're going to host will be open to all law enforcement down the road.
Oh, in addition to McHenry
yep,
County?
100%, yep.
So what happens when a department comes, let's say, from DeKalb County?
Mm-hmm.
Is there a fee that's generated for that?
That's one of the things we're working on. So there's a training center in Colorado that is only between two agencies but are doing something similar, and we are looking to see how their operations work to try to figure out how it works with us. But that's one of the topics that we're talking about. You know, how do we have non-member agencies? How does that work if they want to come and utilize the space? You know, outside agencies and not, or, you know, for-profit training companies that want to come in and utilize the space to host trainings, what does that look like? So those are all topics that, you know, ideally it'd be great if we could bring in agencies from outside the county to utilize the space to offset the cost for the facility as well.
Now, in a situation like that, does the officer bring his own ammunition in, or there's ammunition there that's supplied to him?
Yeah, so the agency that the officer is assigned to will be responsible for providing, you know, ammunition when you were talking about the firing range.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So now we're getting into the heart of summer. I mean, we're early June over here. What are the things that you watch for, especially when you start to get the hot months like July and August? What are you looking at, Rob?
Yeah, so I mean, with school being out, you always pay attention to what the juveniles are doing, because they're always out doing, you know, juvenile stuff, I guess. As you guys are laughing, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Hey,
we all were there, right?
Right. We all did that. Yeah.
So, you know, we really want to make sure that, you know, we can control that chaos a little bit and being more involved. And, you know, when You know, I have two young kids, and when my wife and I are away at work, you know, we're, you know, our kids are doing stuff, but, you know, really making sure that they're not doing stupid stuff is the key. You know, so we see a lot more of that. You know, we have, even with the college kids coming back, you know, we have parties that, you know, tend to get out of hand where, you know, the western part of the county, you can have a big party and no one knows what's going on until, like we were talking about before, where,
sure,
you know, you may have an unfortunate event where you have some kids that may get intoxicated and drive off, and you know, anything can happen after that. So really staying on top of that. We talked about the boating season is up, so there's a lot of activity that goes along, you know, not just up and down the river, but the bars that are really close to, you know, there's a lot going on. And then there's just a lot of festivals, parades, you know, Rib Fest goes on. We're involved in all those events that everyone's trying to enjoy. So our job is to get in front of it, make sure that they're able to enjoy it and not have to worry about anything happening.
So when your officers are involved in it, do you depend on the local authorities for a backup because your guys are being preoccupied someplace else?
Yeah, it's all the above. And that's one of the things that, you know, we do really, really well out in this community is we have great partnerships, you know, with our local law enforcement agencies and even, you know, local agencies. Like I know that, you know, Huntley relies a lot on, you know, Algonquin and Lake in the Hills when, you know, they're bordering areas where we need help from each other, just like we rely on a lot of agencies, you know, conservation. They back us up a lot because they have, the, you know, the jurisdiction of the county and, you know, they're out and about and tend to be in areas where we're at where are less dense and less officers are at. So, you know, we all rely on each other a lot. And, you know, I think that's one of the benefits looking forward to this training facility is to be able to train with each other. So there is a common understanding of the mission at hand. And, you know, if we can have a training that is consistent, you know, officers are able to, you know, just have the confidence in each other, regardless of where they come from, to be able to handle that situation, you know, uniformly.
And of course, Woodstock's in your backyard,
yep,
too.
Yep, 100%. Yep. Yeah. So we work with them, like I mentioned, especially with the county fair coming up. We work with them and, you know, all the other festivals that they have on the square, too, that we assist them with.
It must be difficult when you're covering the rural areas, when you're the far western areas that are really kind of desolate.
Yep.
And you got guys tied up with events going on, and you got to cover those areas out there. That's you're like a lone wolf out there.
That's the life of the sergeant, is making sure that he can allocate his resources or his or her resources appropriately. But yeah, there have been days where you're out west and you're the lone car out west, and I mean there have been days where you're the lone car in the county because everyone's busy and something. So that's really when we really rely on our area partners, our local law enforcement agencies to help us back up. But you know, our sergeants and lieutenants that are on the road, you know, they handle calls too, and they're not just sitting in an office. So they know that, you know, one of the benefits is we have a couple extra cars just because they're out there and helping out as well.
And you're running three shifts, Rob, 24/7?
24/7, yep. Yeah, we run 8.5-hour shifts, so we always have cars on the road, and we stagger our starting time of our shifts, so there's always cars on the road.
And how often are those vehicles rotated? I mean, you must put a lot of miles in those cars.
Yeah, we do. I think and it's funny you bring up vehicles because we're kind of in a weird phase here with vehicles as the nation is starting to trend towards electric vehicles. And maybe that's a topic that we can have on another show. But, you know, when COVID hit, obviously vehicles became sparse and couldn't find them. We got our vehicles that were bought 2 years ago just at the beginning of this year, and then our vehicles this year were dumped. So, you know, we do a good job of managing our fleet. We try to rotate cars anywhere from, you know, 4, 5, 6 years, depending on mileage. But we do a really good job of maintaining our vehicles. We're very fortunate that the county has authorized us to keep you know, our fleet fresh and new because, you know, those are our officers' offices, right? And the benefit of having a car assigned to a deputy, they take care of their own car. And if they don't, they can't blame anyone but themselves for not taking care of it. So our guys and gals do a really, really good job in taking pride of their vehicles and keeping them.
I notice you have more sedans than you have Explorers.
We are a Dodge fleet. So we have Dodge Chargers, Dodge Durangos, and Ram pickup trucks. Our garage is... and I'm going to use the wrong term, but we basically have the status of a dealer status where we can do If there are recall notices, we can do them at our garage. So it's beneficial for our staff. Instead of having to outsource all that, we can all do it in-house.
Well, that's great. The overall work that the officers put in day in and day out, I don't think people really realize there's a lot of stress and tension that goes along with that. It's just not just driving around a car and that's it. That's the end of the day.
Right.
There's so many things that take place. And I think it's very important for people to know. But I wanted to, at this point, say thank you, Rob Tettleman, Sheriff of McHenry County, for joining us. You're listening to 101.5 FM, your Huntley Community Radio station. Go to huntleycommunityradio.com and contact us for more information. Until then, until next time, we have Rob on. Have a great day, everybody.
Thank you.